bow our head, if you would, for a moment. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the sermon tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll just use me as an instrument. Lord, just a channel of your word. And Lord, help me to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, help us to stay focused upon your word and the message for us tonight. Bind Satan's hands, Lord, to get us to thinking about all the things that we have on our calendar or things that might be coming up or a lot of things can distract us, Lord. But again, help us just to focus upon you. And Lord, speak to our hearts. I pray that your power will work in our hearts and lives. Again, Lord, all we want is to be more like Jesus. All we want is to be pleasing to you. And Lord, we pray that you'll be pleased tonight with our service and with the sermon. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it was kind of surprising to me. I had 4 points to preach this morning. I only made it through one. You might say, preacher, that doesn't surprise me at all. You're pretty long-winded. But if you remember the question I asked, where are you today? Where are you today? And as I said this morning, some of you are scratching your head saying, okay, finally the preacher has lost it. I know he was teeter-tottering there a little bit mentally, but hey, I think he's finally lost it because he's asking where we are today. And we made the point that I know where you are physically. I can see you. If you're under the sound of my voice, I can see you here, but I don't know where you are spiritually. But God does, and you do. And I've heard it said quite often that if there's ever been a time that you were closer to God than right now, you're backslidden. There's some truth in that, right? if there's ever been a time that you were closer to God than you are right now, that means you're backslidden. Now, to me, backslidden is for a saved person, all right? I don't want to confuse you. A backslidden person is a person who truly knows Jesus, but just aren't serving the Lord the way they should. So I'd encourage you to examine where you are right now. Because really the message won't do anything until we actually take the time to say, where am I? Where am I in my walk with God? And it really amazes me as I read through the book of Philippians just how challenging Paul is to the Philippian. Did I say Corinthians? I meant Philippians if I said it wrong. To the Philippian church. It's amazing to me how challenging he is to the Philippian Christians. I mean, this is like boom. And the title of the message, of course, where are you? We only read verses 15 to verse 19. And we're going to read that again. We're going to review just a little bit of what we talked about this morning. And then we'll take it from there. Paul says to the Philippian Christians, to the Philippian church, as he is under house arrest in Rome, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, remember, we talked about that. That's mature. As many as be mature, that are mature, be thus minded. And what's he talking about? Being thus minded. He's saying, I want them to have the same mind that I have. And Paul expressed that up in verses 13 and 14. Now, let me read that to you just to back up because it points back to that. In verses 13 and 14 of Philippians chapter 3, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I know that's a lot of words, but you know, he said, my number one priority is pressing for Jesus. You know, we need some Christians who are really pressing forward for Jesus. We have real, I'll be honest with you. We as Christians in America, we have more, they're basically taking a break on the sideline, sitting on the bench. And we got some that's on fire and pressing, and some of them like, I don't know. I don't really understand that. But Paul's saying, if you're mature, I want you to have the same mind that I have. That my priority is to press forward for Jesus. Forgetting the past, reaching to the future, and saying, I want to do whatever God has called me to do. And that should be our priority. So he says that in that verse. And then he says, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. We talked about how would he reveal that? Well, ultimately through his word, but through the Holy Spirit too. You know, if we're not sold out to the Lord, now listen, everybody wake, alert, and enthusiastic. Everybody look up here for just a moment. If you're not sold out to the Lord and pressing for him, you know it. I mean, you know it, right? And the Holy Spirit, if you're truly born again, the Holy Spirit lives in there, and the Holy Spirit knows it. And the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, you could do better, right? And the Word of God, of course, says we can do better. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me, right? So if we feel different, if we're not pushing forward or pressing forward like Paul, it says he'll reveal that to you. God will reveal it to you. You know, the Christian life isn't rocket science. And I'm thankful for that. The Christian life is really quite simple. Not that everything he calls us to do is simple. Don't misunderstand me. And it's not like just, I'm a Christian, I'm not going to have any problems. I mean, we get the same news as the people that are lost, right? We get the same bad news from the doctor sometimes. We get the same bad news at work. We have relationship problems. We may have financial problems. So I'm not saying that it's a piece of cake. But the essence of the Christian walk is simple. Trust Jesus by faith. And once I'm saved, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these will be added unto you. Put the Lord first. Press on. And Paul is saying, you know, if you're not, you know it. Because God is revealing it to you. Then verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. This morning, out of verse 15, which I've already talked about a bit, but the point was, grow up and press on. Grow up and press on. It's amazing to me, that we put so much emphasis on our own physical growth. Now, right now, I have no problem growing. My waistline, it's amazing. It's amazing. I can grow my waistline. I can lose weight. I've lost and gained the same pound so many times, I've lost track of it. You know, I can lose it, and then boom, it's a piece of cake for me to grow physically. But when you have a child, and that's what we are when we're first saved, we're newborn babes in Christ. If we have a child physically, like Brittany and Patrick are going to have Paul, and then after a few months, and he's like, well, Paul's not growing. What's going on? I mean, there'd be concern, right? But in the Christian life, it's like we don't have that much concern if we're not growing in the Lord. We really ought to be growing up. And it's amazing to me in our churches that should be full of Christians who are mature. I mean, you get to thinking about it a little bit. It's like, well, how many in our churches really show spiritual maturity? I mean, see, the real mark of spiritual maturity, you can tell maturity by priorities, right? Because if you're mature, you have a different set of priorities than someone who is immature, right? I mean, really, you would think in this society that we're in, that we have so many blessings and so many privileges and so many resources on the Bible and so much access to the Bible and devotionals that can help us. And we got preachers on the radio and the television. Not all of them are good, but we got so many. You'd think that we would be able to say we are 100% spiritually mature. Not perfect, of course, because we're not going to reach there, Paul says, quite. But we're not. I mean, you think about it a lot of times. You just think about, if you have a problem in your Christian life, who would you go to? And it's not like there's 100 options. It's kind of like, okay, now, who's mature in our church? Who is mature? Now, I thank you. You're the Sunday night crowd and pretty much the Wednesday night crowd. Thank you for that, and thank you for your maturity. But just think about over. Wouldn't it be something if everybody in our church got a hold of this and said, "I'm going to be a mature Christian"? And can I tell you why we have problems in our churches sometimes? It's because of immaturity. Really, I mean, I'm not telling you anything I wouldn't have told you my first year of ministry. A lot of times we have problems in churches because of immaturity, and people don't know how to handle certain things. It's like, well, I'm gonna act just like the world in this, and it's like, okay, that's gonna cause problems right off the bat. Grow up and press on. Tonight, we're gonna go to verse 16. Rate I'm going, I'll probably just get 1 point tonight. I'll probably get a little further. Not only, where are you today? That's the question for the message, and that's the title. This morning, grow up and press on. Number two, walk right. Walk right. In verse 16, it says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. Now, you remember, Paul says that he is not... He has not attained exactly and doesn't fully understand why God saved him. He's not perfect, but he said, I've not quite realized completely why God saved me and what God has for me as a purpose in life. Remember that? We talked about that as we've gone verse by verse through the book of Philippians. But he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, wherever we are in our Christian life, there's still something we can do. I mean, you may be here tonight and say, well, preacher, I'm really not that mature in my walk with God. Well, I got good news for you. You can start that journey right now. It says, whereto we have already attained. So wherever you are in your walk with God and in your maturity, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. You know what I think he's referring back to the pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Let's make God a priority. You know, do you know where we find out the rules for life? The Bible. So it says specifically in that verse, let us walk by the same rule, principles in life, found in the book, ultimately to press for Jesus. And it says, let us mind the same thing. Let's make sure that we're on the same page, serving Jesus faithfully. You know, I believe that even a newborn Christian knows enough to follow the rule book. The problem is not with the rule book. And some people want to make all kinds of excuses. Well, the rule book, the Bible, is so confusing to me. That's not an excuse. You know, normally what I find is when people want to kind of manipulate the scriptures or talk about how hard it is or to understand or they want to justify something that's it. It's like they don't want to really obey what it says and just say, okay, it says this, therefore I'm going to do this. It says I need to be this, therefore I'm going to be this. You know, it's usually not a problem with the Word of God. It's a problem with our old hard heart saying, I'm not going to do it God's way. I mean, how long is it going to get through these hard head of ours? Through our hard head and say, you know what? God knows best. It's kind of funny. A lot of us, we like to pick and choose. You know, we might as well take our scissors out and look at our Bible. I mean, the way we live, we might as well just take our scissors out and say, well, okay, I'm going to live by that, but I'm not going to live by that. I'm going to cut that out. I really don't think I agree with that. I'm going to cut. That's really what we're doing. We need to walk right. And we know what's right. You know, when it says, let us mind the same thing, we've got the same rule book and we've got the same Holy Spirit. So we ought to be on the same page. You know, I watched I got frustrated at the West Virginia game yesterday. And I've done this before. I just quit watching it for a while. And I really didn't even see the ending, even though Amy was watching it and listening to it. We were in Williamstown and we were driving up yesterday evening. And so he's kind of like, okay, let's get in the truck. We're going to head up to Doddridge. And she was still listening to it. I kind of tuned it out, and you know, but I knew that we won. And she's like, yeah, we, you know, she was keeping me updated. But I got a bit frustrated during that game. That's not the first time. I've been known to have my West Virginia stuff on. I mean, like the big games, you know, like the big games we used to have, like, you know, bowl games and big stuff. I'd have my West Virginia stuff on. I'd get frustrated. Now, I'm always a West Virginia fan, but I'd get frustrated. I'd go change. I'd take my, like, my goodness, man, you go play better than that. I've been known to do that. Now, it's been a lot of years since I've done that, I think, so don't throw stones at me. But I've been known to get a bit frustrated. But there was a call in that game that still perplexes me. And it perplexes Coach Rich Rod, too. At the end of the first half, y'all remember, y'all that watched the game, there was a personal foul. And there was 1 second left on the clock when Nico got hit, personal foul, when he was on the ground. And they just like, half over. Was like, what in the world? I've never seen a game, and Rich Rod said the same thing, that there's no consequences for a penalty. They didn't mark off 15 yards at the, you know, when it kicked off or received them in the second half. They didn't say, okay, you got one more play. That's what I thought they was going to say. You got one more play. Because games can't end. I've always been taught. Maybe I'm wrong. Games cannot end on a defensive penalty. You got to play one more play. So I was ready for that. But the ACC, the ACC reffing crew, of which Pitt is part, they decided that the rule book said this. You know, there's some loophole or something in there. I maybe they're right, maybe they're not. But you know what? This rule book is clear. There's no loopholes in this. We try to find loopholes maybe, but there's no loopholes. I'm thankful for the Bible, God's rule book. Where are you today? Where are you in your walk with God? Where are you spiritually? Are you growing? Are you sliding back? Is there a time that you've been closer to God than you are right now? Are you in neutral or are you in drive? Number one, grow up and press on. Number two, tonight, walk right. Walk right. Again, I want to make this as clear as I can. We ought not be, as Christians, scratching our heads saying, wonder what I should do as a Christian. Well, if you want to ask me, I'll be glad to tell you from God's word what our responsibilities are. You've heard me share this before. Five to thrive. Real easy to remember. Y'all remember that? Five to thrive. If you want to thrive in your Christian life, read the Bible. Pray to the Lord. Go to church faithfully. Tell people about Jesus. And tithe. Is that complicated? Five to thrive. So walk right. Number three, where are you today? Follow good walkers. Follow good walkers. If you'll notice, that word walk is mentioned several times in these verses, these four verses. But in verse 17, notice it says, brethren, talking to Christians, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So he's saying, follow my example. I think Paul set a good example, don't you? You can tell his heart was right because he'd say, follow me. And he wouldn't say it in a selfish way. He'd say, follow me as I follow Christ would be the way that we would catch it, right? But he's saying, brethren, say, be followers of me. Paul set a good example. Again, back to this, what's this one thing he does? Forgetting the past, reaching to the future, pressing for Jesus. That's what we should do. But then he goes on, he says, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Paul wasn't the only good walker in his walk with the Lord. Now, when we say walk, you know, I think everybody here gets it. We're talking about your day-to-day life with Jesus, our walk with Jesus. So we're supposed to have discernment. That's a good word, discernment. We should have discernment about who in our life is walking right. And make a note of that in our brain and follow their example. I mean, you can think of people in our church, right? I think right off the top of my head, Teresa pops in my brain. Now, is Teresa perfect? No, I'm sure Teresa's not perfect. But you know something that really, I can make a mental note in my brain. One thing about her walk, she is going through probably more than we can imagine. But she does her best to be here at church. I mean, we got people that have no ailments at all, and they got beautiful cars. They can hop in there, turn on their stereo, turn on their air conditioning, and have a smooth ride to church, have no ailments, sit there, not have any pains or any problems, but they don't do it because they don't got the want to. There's a problem when we don't got the want to, but I look at Teresa, I make a mental note in my brain, I'm going to mark her as a faithful follower of Jesus. Because she has, I mean, she's got that smile and she's got that joy even though she's battling cancer. Now again, I'm not saying Teresa's perfect, but I think what this is saying, mark those who are faithful. Now they may be faithful in this area in particular or faithful in this area in particular. And that's someone I see in our church like that. And I remember people in my life. I remember preachers that I've had in particular. I remember preachers. And I marked them in my brain. And they left an impression on me. There was a guy named Don Naylor that pastored our church back home. Don Naylor. He worked at, y'all ever heard of Alloy? It's a company down in Alloy, West Virginia. Which my brother worked at Alloy for a number of years, one of my brothers, and it's not too far from where I'm from. You go past Alloy to get to Montgomery from where I'm from, where I live. So I went every time I come back and forth to school, I went by Alloy. But he worked at Alloy as best I remember. But he also pastored a church, and he had this his face when he would get up to preach. He had the joy of the Lord. I mean, it's one of those people. You ever seen those people? And he'd sing. And it seems like to me that he'd sometimes, that maybe some fingers would come up and he'd sing, I'm feeling mighty fine. I got Jesus on my mind. You know that one? And boy, his face would just light up. And you'd just like, wow, this is good. You know, that left an impression. I marked that in my brain that there's someone who's got, at least in that area, that's got it down. And God blesses us with people all through our life. Doug Eads. Now, this is the brother of my high school football coach. I bragged on my high school football coach before because he is a Christian. I never, to the best of my knowledge, I never heard him cuss. I never heard him bail anybody out in a bad way. You know what I mean? This is his brother. He was our pastor. I was on the pulpit committee. I think I was in college, but I was on the pulpit committee that was considering him when we hired him to be our pastor. And boy, he was a good preacher. I mean, the Eads is E-A-D-E-S. I don't know if you know any Eadses or not, but maybe it's a family trait. I don't know, but they got personality plus. I mean, he was just a good guy, good, solid preacher. The kind of guy you can say, I'm blessed to have him as my pastor. I think of David Lemming. This was down in Huntington when Amy and I worked in the Huntington area. Pastor of Lewis Memorial Baptist Church. And I believe as far as being under his ministry and hearing his preaching week in and week out, because see, there's a whole lot of difference between the preaching between an evangelist and a pastor. Because a pastor has to preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, maybe Sunday school. You know, boom, 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 all kind of time. Evangelists sometimes can have a few good sermons and they preach it 100 times. And if I preach a sermon 100 times, I'd probably be pretty good at it too. Even by mistake, you know, just by accident, probably. Do you see what I mean? Nothing against evangelists, but as far as the preacher that I was under week after week after week, best pastor, best preacher I've ever been under week after week after week. I mean, he'd get up there and like, wow, I probably wore the carpet out going to the altar, probably. Craig Scott up in Connecticut, we moved to Connecticut. He was the first real full-time pastor. David Lemming was full-time too, but Craig Scott that we were under, and it was Connecticut, that whole different world. It's a whole different world in Connecticut. It really is. I mean, people are much more introverted instead of extroverted, you know, not as friendly, but the church was great. And Pastor Scott, and he went to the same seminary I did. He went before me. But you know, just to see his faithfulness and his sticking power. He was up there. He retired from that church just in the last year or so and been up there, I forget, way up in the 30 number of years. And then Lee Robertson, he started Tennessee Temple. You may have heard of Lee Robertson. I've heard him preach. I was never under him as pastor. Man, this guy is like Moses when he gets up and preaches. You know, and you think about it, he started a mission downtown in Chattanooga. He started a Camp Joy in Chattanooga. They had all these chapels that were chapels off of the big church that we were part of the whole time we were there. 3,000 or 4,000 people. They started all these chapels. I mean, there's so many things that he did. And I remember he always drove a Buick, and he didn't like to fly. And how he kept himself awake, he kept his left foot off the floor of the Buick as he was driving. You know, I'm getting sleepy. I'm going to hold my left foot up. And it falls, I'll wake up, I guess. He wore a double-breasted pinstripe suit, dark blue. But these people, I marked them in my brain that these are faithful people. J.R. Faulkner was, I'm almost finished with this illustration here, but J.R. Faulkner, he was Lee Robertson's second man. Now, you got to think about all that happened under J.R. Faulkner and Lee Robertson. They started a college and a seminary. They had all the way from preschool all the way through your doctoral level down there. And that's where I went to the seminary to get my master's degree. And J.R. Faulkner, now he is a song leader like I've never seen. I mean, he would get up there and he'd button his jacket like this. I don't normally do this. It's too uncomfortable and painful. But he would button his jacket, and when he'd get those high notes, the jacket would stay, you know, go up like this, and you know, and boy, he could get more out of a congregation singing than anybody. And one of them that they sang was "Behold, He Comes." And boy, that was like his song. "Behold, He Comes, Behold, He." You know, he could just get it out of the congregation. Of course, there's a huge But I made a mark in my brain. Now, there's somebody to follow. And such a sweet spirit. I mean, this guy, you know, he could have been, "Oh, you know what, all we helped start here there in Chattanooga." He wasn't like that at all. He wasn't a big feeling guy. He was as humble as you could be. And I marked that guy in my brain as an example to follow. What about O.D. Harmon? Now, I didn't know O.D. for a long time. I was never under his pastorate. But you could just tell by being around O.D. He was a good man and solid and faithful. I mean, he was faithful to come to church. He wasn't young. He was in his 90s or late 80s when I first met him. He'd bring that little tiny Jeep-like thing. And I could always tell when he come because there was always a big ditch or a rut out there because he couldn't quite turn it around right in the spot right in front of the church. I always laughed about that. Like, well, OD's around because he get in and he you know, get in the grass. I mean, people like that. I mean, there's people like that today, folks. We need to grab a hold of it and mark them in our brain just like Paul did and said, Philippians, you need to. Oak Mound, you need to get a hold of these people. Now, these people aren't perfect, and they'll fail you, and they sin against God. But mark it in your brain. That's a faithful example of what I should be. They're putting the Lord first, and I want to be like them as they are like Jesus. Follow good walkers. We can follow their example, not a perfect example, because only Jesus is a perfect example. You know, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Notice what it says. We read this morning, but I want to emphasize another point of it. When we're talking about discernment, discern who is serious about God, right? It says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to what? To discern both good and evil." And we need to discern those who are really in it for the right reasons. We need to discern those who are faithfully serving God and say, "You know what? God helping me. I'm gonna follow their example as they follow Jesus." Where are you today spiritually? Grow up and press on. Walk right yourself. And it's not rocket science. The Bible tells us and the Holy Spirit guides us. Third, follow good walkers. Number four. It's not quite as positive as the last point. But number four, watch out for false walkers. Watch out for false walkers. Now, I didn't make this up. It's in the Bible, okay? If you ever think I make something up, you come to me and say, "Preacher, I think you made that up." That's why I try to stick so close to the Word of God. Because you don't want to hear what I got to say. You want to hear what God's got to say. But look at what it says in verses 18 and 19. Paul, he says, "For many," there's that word again, "many walk, of whom I have told you often." So obviously when Paul was in Philippi, and not Philippi, I got to be careful how I say that. In Philippi, he obviously told these people, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. That not everybody is who they appear to be. And I can't help but, and I'll clarify this in a little bit more. These people were meeting with this church. I mean, these weren't outside people that were lost. I'm convinced the people that he's talking about are people that were in the church at Philippi. Now, that's sad. And let me tell you how sad it is. Because Paul says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping." Now, I never had really thought about this, but you know, when Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, recorded these words, now this is the epistle or the letter of joy, right? And Paul was under house arrest and was like, wow, how could he have so much joy? But he freely admits, as he's writing this down under the direction of the Holy Spirit, the tears are falling down on where he's writing. He says, even weeping. He is so upset that these people are not true followers of Jesus. They're even in the church, but they're not true followers of Jesus. Now listen, I know some of you are going to say, wow, really? You think that, preacher? Now, you'll find one thing about me. I've not changed my opinion on too many things. I've been very consistent in my doctrine. I've been very consistent in the things I say. Our churches have people that are not born again. We have people in our churches who have not truly trusted Jesus as their Savior. Now, I can't, nor should I, say, well, there's one, there's one. I mean, that's not my responsibility. But I'm telling you, and it's kind of hard for my brain to fathom this in a church that brings the gospel up so much. And those that give so many opportunities for salvation and responding and being truly born again, that there are people in our church. But I guarantee you, to every single one of them, if you talk to a conservative pastor of a conservative church, they'll tell you the same thing. That sometimes the problem in our churches is that some of the people are not truly born again. And he's saying that to the Philippian church. I mean, you can't read this and say these people are saved or not. You got to read it close. It says, "For many walk," and it wasn't just a few, "many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping," he's shedding tears, here it is, "that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Now, I'm telling you, I believe that there's a number of people in all of our churches, even Bible-believing preaching churches, who have never truly been born again. Now, I have a hard time comprehending that, but I think the truth of it is real. It says they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies of the cross of Christ. Did you catch that? Enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not on the same team as we are. And notice the description, the description. It says, "whose end is destruction." Now, they're called enemies, but it says, "whose end is destruction." And the word that's used here is not annihilation, but rather ruination by separation from the presence of God in eternal judgments. Really what it's speaking of right there. "Whose end is destruction." And then it goes on to describe who they are. It not only tells us about their end, it not only tells us that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, but it says whose God is their belly. it says, for them, it's all about their own physical desires and what they want. That's what it's about. It's not about what God wants, it's what I want. Now, if someone is not born again, but yet they're part of a church, can you see the problem there? Because once you become a child of God, everything is supposed to change, right? I mean, we become a new creature. Our goals are different. Our aspirations are different, right? What we do during the day is supposed to be different. So if you throw someone, and the Bible uses the analogies of wheat and tares, right? And remember, it's kind of like, well, wheat and tares. Now, the wheat's the real stuff. Tares are the fake stuff. It says, what are you supposed to do? And God basically said that, I'm the judge. I'll take care of it. You don't have to weed them out. I will. So even that is in support of those people in our churches who are truly not born again. But they want their own way, their own physical desires is what's important to them, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. They pride themselves on things that they ought to be ashamed of. And it says, who mind earthly things. As opposed to pressing toward the mark for Jesus, they live for this old world and what it has to offer them. You know, just as in the Philippian church, there can be false workers. There can be false pretending walkers. That's the point. Watch out for false walkers. False walkers, even in our churches today. They're lost. They're not born again. Now, another passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. Notice what these verses say. It says, these are the words of Jesus. These are in red. Wow. Beware of false prophets which come to you. Notice false prophets which come to you in what kind of clothing? Sheep's clothing. We know that. We know that expression, right? You say of people, now that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. You ever use that expression? They appear one way, but on the inside they're something different. They're really a wolf pretending to be a sheep. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Pretty simple, isn't it? If you're a good fruit, you're truly born again, you're going to bring forth good fruit if you're a good tree. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast, where? Into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You know, a lot of people, I'm going to preach a message, maybe a series of messages on what it means to be a judge of people. Because people, that's probably the most misunderstood concept in the Christian life. Because I almost want to get a rock and throw at somebody sometimes when right and wrong is pointed out and someone says, but you can't judge. I mean, you've heard that, right? It's like, but I can be a fruit inspector. Isn't that just what it just said? You can tell a good tree because a good tree is going to bring forth good fruit. And if a bad tree brings forth evil fruit. So as it's put quite often, I may not be a judge, but I can be a fruit inspector. But here's really the part I want to, it says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them in verse 20. Verse 21, I want to get to where I want to get with this. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. It's not teaching a work salvation, but it's saying, if there's no works, there's no good fruit, there's a pretty good chance that they say, Lord, Lord, but they don't know the Lord, Lord as their Savior. I didn't make this stuff up. It's right here in the Bible. It says, many will say to me, now notice this, this is big. Are you ready? You catching this? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then here it is. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Amen. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't know how you could read the passage in Philippians, how you can read the passage in Matthew chapter 7 and not come to the conclusion that there's people in our churches who are truly not born again. You know, that's sad. You know, when I say the word Benedict Arnold, what do you think of? Traitor, right? I did a little bit of research in old Benny. He was born 1741. He died 1801. Listen to this. He was an American-born British military officer who served during the American Revolutionary War. Now, we know that there's some like, traitor, traitor, traitor. But maybe we need to refresh our memory a little bit on who he was. He served during the American Revolutionary War. He fought with distinction for the American Continental Army and rose to the rank of Major General, notice this, before defecting to the British in 1780. General George Washington had given him his fullest trust and had placed him in command of West Point in New York. West Point. Arnold was planning to surrender the fort to British forces, but the plot was discovered in September 1780, whereupon he fled to the British lines. In the latter part of the war, Arnold was commissioned as a brigadier general in the British Army. He led British forces in battle against the army which he had once commanded, and his name became synonymous with treason and betrayal in the United States. Compliments of Wiki. Now, it's kind of hard to fathom, but it seems like everything that Benedict Arnold was a lie. He pretended to be one thing, but he was really supporting the British. It's almost like he was almost like a spy pretending to be, unfortunately, there's some who are false walkers, if you will. Where are you today? I'm gonna land this plane, I think. Hopefully safely. Where are you spiritually in your walk with God? Where are you spiritually in your walk with God? This morning, grow up and press on. Grow up and press on. Tonight, walk right. If there's something in the Bible that tells you you need to stop what you're doing, can I give you some great advice? Stop what you're doing. If there's something in the Bible that says you need to start doing this and you're not doing it, can I give you some great advice? Start doing what the Bible says to do. Walk right. I can't get past that statement, we're educated well above our obedience. Really, if you've been in church in any time at all, you've heard what's right. And it's right there in the Bible. You can read it right at home if you want to. Walk right. Number three, follow good walkers. Follow good walkers. You know, God has placed in your life through the years, you can probably think of people that set a good example. Like Paul. And they said, you know what? I don't care what the world says. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I don't care what other people say. I'm going to do exactly what God wants me to do. Can I tell you? Remember those people in a good way. Mark them in your brain and say, I want to be like OD. I want to be like people that I know who are faithful to God. Follow good walkers. And lastly, watch out for false walkers. Watch out for false walkers. Really, if I had to put a title over verses 3 and 4, point 3 and 4, that is, it would be discernment. Discernment. You know, sometimes we're way too gullible when it comes to even TV preachers and radio preachers. If they don't believe the Bible like we do, click. So many times, I mean, we got some people that can fill football stadiums almost. Big auditoriums. Maybe not football, but like Colosseums perhaps. but they're not preaching and teaching the Bible. And we should have that discernment that not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, truly born again. I mean, some of these preachers that are not preaching the Bible and can't call sin, sin, and can't say that someone who doesn't trust Jesus is going to go to a godless hell based upon the authority of God's word, they're not preachers. They're not even saved. They're not even born again. They're false walkers. We need to pay attention to that. And even, unfortunately, many times in our churches, we have people who are truly not born again. Three categories of people, according to this passage, possibly could be here today. According to this passage. Number one's a false walker. False walker. You know, you could be here and you truly not been born again. But you seem to be saved. I mean, everybody would say, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're saved. But if you're not sure you're truly born again, really, the Bible says we should know that we're saved. And if we don't know we're saved, there's a good chance we're not saved. So settle it tonight. If you're not sure, as I say, just nail that thing down. So we might have some false walkers. We may have some immature walkers. Immature walkers. That's mainly what we talked about this morning. I'd encourage you, make a decision to grow. I mean, and make sure your want to is there. I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to be, you know, I want to be the kind of person, and I hope you want to be that kind of person too, that when someone has a problem in life and they don't know the direction that God may, that they can come to me. You know, I want them to feel comfortable and they can trust what I say based on, I want to live that kind of life, don't you? So we may have false walkers be saved. Immature walkers make the decision that you're going to mature. And they're, tonight, third category, mature walkers or a good walker. I'd encourage you. You may say, preacher, I'm growing. I'm maturing. I want to grow. I'm faithful. I'm not perfect, but I'm doing the things I need. Just keep it up. We need more of you. Just keep it up. You can't outdo God, right? I mean, you can't do too much. Just keep on doing what you know to do is right. Tonight, however, God is speaking to you. If you're a false walker, be saved. If you're an immature walker, make up your mind that you're going to do your best to mature in the Lord. And if you're a mature walker, don't quit. Don't quit. Just keep on keeping on for the Lord. If you would, bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you tonight. I'm not going to ask you to indicate with your hand, but is God speaking to your heart tonight? Is God speaking to your heart tonight? Where are you today? Was the title of this message this morning and tonight. Where are you today? Where are you spiritually? Now, I can't tell you that, but God can. Sometimes we even fool ourselves and we think we're all right and we're growing and we're maturing, but we're not. Would you take just a moment and just ask God sincerely from your heart, where am I, Lord, compared to where you want me to be? Would you ask the Lord that? But be careful. If you ask him, he'll show you. He'll tell you. Lord, where am I at compared to where I need to be as a maturing Christian? Let me encourage you, if God is speaking to your heart, we're going to sing a song, and there is something about coming to the altar. Making that step, taking that step, being bold, talking to the Lord about it. So if God has shown you that you can mature in some areas, maybe that, and again, this is not showing a weakness. This is actually showing a strength that you want to draw closer to Jesus. And believe me, we all need to draw closer to Jesus. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. We thank you for the book of Philippians. What an encouragement. Lord, how it just lays it out there. And Lord, it's like this is what you need to be doing. Lord, help us to realize what we need to be doing. Pressing forward, forgetting the past, reaching to the future, pressing on in God's will for our life, pressing on for Jesus. And Lord, if there's any here tonight that you've spoken to, I know a number responded even this morning, but Lord, if there's anyone tonight you're speaking to about areas where they need to mature, Lord, I pray that you'll give them the boldness to step out, come to the altar. If there's anyone tonight that is here or listening in who may be a false walker, or maybe someone who freely admits, I'm lost as can be, I pray, Lord, that tonight they may realize their need of a Savior, call out to you for forgiveness, call out to you and tell you that they believe Jesus really was your Son who died on the cross to pay for their sins and resurrected back to life. And Lord, and call out to you and claim and confess Jesus as their Savior. If they're here tonight, I pray they'll come forward and get my attention. If they're sitting at home listening to a live stream but not saved, I pray that they'll call out to you tonight and be truly born again, meaning it from their heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.